الله ذكرت لي لسن أو محاضرة أو لسن رسيخ أبو عبد الرحمن فوز الأثر حفظه الله وفي جلن يترى ناس أصحاب الجيوة الكفار in the land of the kuffar, the name of the disbelievers, and there in the land of the disbelievers. There's something there.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdu rabbil alameen, as-salatu wa s-salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. فمن أصول عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة أنه يجب على كل مسلم أن يدين بهذه الأصول, أن يوالي أهلها ويعادي أعداءها فيحب أهل التوحيد ويواليهم ويبغض أهل الشرك ويعاديهم. فمن أصول عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة أن على كل مسلم أن يحب أهل التوحيد, يحب أهل الإسلام ويبغض أهل الشرك ويبغض أهل الكفر, كما قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. وهذه الآية في تحريم موالاة اليهود النصارى خصوصا. فالله سبحانه وتعالى أمر الناس أن لا يوالوا الكفار من اليهود والنصارى وغيرهم من أهل الشرك والكفر. وقال في تحريم موالاة الكفار عموما, فالله سبحانه وتعالى يحرم موالاة الكفار عموما. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء. فالله سبحانه وتعالى يأمر بتحريم اتخاذ الكفار أولياء على سبيل العموم, وتحريم اتخاذ اليهود والنصارى أولياء على الخصوص. بل لقد حرم على المؤمن الموالاة الكفار ولو كانوا من أقرب الناس إليه نسبا, حتى لو كان هؤلاء الكفار أقرب الناس لهذا الشخص نسبا لا يجوز للمؤمن أن يوالي هؤلاء الكفار. فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا أباءكم وأخوانكم أولياء إن استحبوا الكفر على الإيمان ومن يتولهم منكم فأولئك هم الظالمون. وقال تعالى: لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا أباءهم وأبناءهم وإخوانهم أو عشيرتهم.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. وبعد, شيخ أبو عبد الرحمن فوز أثري حفظه الله الشيخ أتم أصول بالتنسب والتلاقي بحث السنة والجماعة from that which is known from the deen is that they love the people of Tawheed, the people who unify Allah سبحانه وتعالى and all aspects that he must be unified in, and they hate the people of shirk, those who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is their aqeedah, and they believe this Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah to be the aqeedah that every Muslim must be upon. Every Muslim must love the people who are the Tawheed, the people of Islam, the people who are on the Sudan, and every Muslim must hate the people of Turk and the people of Kufr. And there's no allowance for them to have walaya or loyalty, friendship or love for those who Allah Ta'ala has forbidden us to have loyalty, friendship or love with. So Allah says, oh you who believe, do not kill, and specifically Ahl al-Kitab, the Christians and Jews, as friends. And if this is a nas or text indicating tahrim, that is haram or forbidden, to take the Christians and Jews in particular as friends. To take the Christians and Jews in particular as friends. And in the other ayat indicates that those who take them as friends are similar to them. And Allah has said in general, saying that it's haram to take the disbelievers, whether they be from the Jews or the Christians or Muslims or whatever, or other Muslims or whatever, that is haram to take them as friends, when he says, oh, you believe, do not take my enemies and your enemies as friends. So there is a general forbidden to take any disbeliever, any Muslim as a friend, and there is a particular forbidden for taking the Christian and the Jew as a friend and having any type of loyalty, friendship and love for those individuals. And Allah Ta'ala has forbidden in general for us to have loyalty or walaya or closeness or support or friendship for those who may be the closest to us in limited, the closest to us in family ties. When the indication one ayah that we should not take those who are our fathers or our brothers or other than that as friends when they have decided that they love kufr and they love kufr over iman. And also the verse which is well known, that you will not find those who believe in Allah on the last day have enough for those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, whether it be from their family members or their fathers or their brothers or their near tribe or whatever. So this is a general provision for having any type of loyalty, friendship or relationship of this nature with the kafir in general, and a forbidden of doing this with the kuffar from the Jews and the Christians in particular.
وقد جهل كثير من الناس هذا الأصل العظيم مسألة الولاء والبراء. تجد أهل الإسلام قد تشبهوا بهم يعني بالكفار بملابسهم وكلامهم وخصائصهم وأشكالهم وأعيادهم وفي أسمائهم وفي أمور كثيرة تشبهوا بهم جهلهم بمسألة الولاء والبراء. وهؤلاء لم يفهموا القرآن ولم يفهموا السنة لجهلهم بالإسلام. والوا هؤلاء الكفرة في ملابسهم وكلامهم وخصائصهم وأشكالهم وأعيادهم وأسمائهم. وليس معنى ذلك أن المسلمين لا يتخذون تعاليم الإسلام نحو الكفار مع التحريم ولاة الكفار في أشكالهم وفي أسمائهم وفي أعيادهم وفي أمور كثيرة. لكن ليس معنى ذلك أن المسلمين لا يتخذون تعاليم الإسلام نحو الكفار في بعض الأحكام المتعلقة بهم. وسوف إن شاء الله نشرح ذلك الآن. وما أقوله الآن ليس هو من باب محبتهم وموالاتهم، لأن الأصل عدم محبة الكفرة وموالاة الكفرة. والذي سوف نتكلم فيه ليس من باب محبتهم وموالاتهم يعني الكفار، فإن الله أوجب محبة المؤمنين وموالاتهم وبغض الكافرين ومعاداتهم. فالصلة والمكافأة وحسن المعاملة مع الكافرين الدنيوي شيء والمودة شيء آخر. فحسن المعاملة مع أهل الكفر في بلدانهم وبلدان المسلمين هذا أمر دنيوي، هذا أمر آخر. والمودة شيء آخر. أما إذا جئنا إلى الدين فلا موالاة فيهم ولا محبة ولا غير ذلك ولا حسن معاملة، لكن إذا جئنا في الدنيا فلا بد أن نحسن المعاملة إلى أحسن المعاملة معنا. فالمكافأة وحسن المعاملة مع الكافرين الدنيوي شيء والمودة شيء آخر، ولأن في الصلة وحسن المعاملة ترغيبا للكافر في الإسلام، فهما من وسائل الدعوة إلى الله، وكذلك تحريم موالاة الكافرين لا تعني تحريم التعامل معهم بالخلق الحسن وحسن المعاملة وبالتجارة المباحة واستيراد البضائع والمصنوعات النافعة والاستفادة من خبراتهم الدنيوية. وما زال المسلمون يستوردون البضائع والصناعات من الكفار، وهذا من باب الشراء منهم بالثمن، وليس لهم علينا فيه فضل ومنة. فمع تحريم موالاة الكفار لا تعني هذا أن لا نحسن المعاملة معهم، لكي لا تتضرر أنت المسلم ويتضرر معك أهل الإسلام ويطعنون في الإسلام بسببك أنت في المعاملة. وذلك عندما سمعنا وجاءت إلينا بعض الأسئلة من الخارج أن هناك أناس من التكفيريين وبعض المسلمين يسلون الناس بقتل كافر في بلده وسرقة الدكاكين المحلات، وكل ذلك ينحسب كالغنيمة، وهذا منكر عظيم. فهذا الرجل يفتي لنفسه بالباطل ليس في كتاب الله ولا سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهؤلاء التكفيريون يفعلون أمور يضرون بها أهل الإسلام والإسلام، فمنهم من سجن ومنهم من وضع صوره في الجرائد والصحف على أنه متهم في السرقة وفي القتل وفي التفجيرات، وكم مسلم يموت في التفجيرات. فهذا لا يجوز، وبين أهل العلم ويأتي كيف يعامل أهل الكفر جلدانهم. وبهذا طعن في الإسلام بسبب هؤلاء الجهلة. وما زال المسلمون يستوردون البضائع والمصنوعات من الكفار، وليس هو من باب محبتهم وموالاتهم. نعم.
But to understanding this great principle and knowing it is important, and knowing that every Muslim should be upon this principle of what is wala and bara, having loyalty, love and friendship for the believer, and hatred, enmity, and being far removed, and disliking and hating the kafir, al bara'a, there are still those amongst the Muslims who are ignorant of this principle. They are ignorant of this principle in totality. Well, they dress like the disbelievers, they have loyalty to disbelievers, they talk like the disbelievers, they follow disbelievers in those matters particular and specific to the disbelievers, they fashion themselves and form themselves like the disbelievers, they have their festivities and celebrations like the kuffar. These individuals are ignorant of the whole principle of wala and bara. And even though this is the case that some Muslims have done this, this does not stop the believers from dealing with the non-Muslims according to the teachings of Islam. Dealing with the non-Muslims according to the teachings of Islam.
We've already established that the asl, that the origin, is that you love the believer, and you're friendly with the believer, and you have loyalty to the believer. And that you hate the kafir, and you have enmity with the kafir, and in this manner with the kafir. But this does not change the fact that Islam has given certain rulings regarding the kuffar, and how to deal with them outside of that issue of wala bara, outside of what is love and loyalty. And that is, that if a disbeliever, you're dealing with a disbeliever, whether in his land or in the land of the Muslims, that you, there's nothing that prevents you from treating him kindly, and nothing that prevents you from showing good manners and good behavior, and dealing with him justly in transactions. Well, these are all matters of the dunya, all worldly matters. When it comes to the matters of deen, no love for them, total hatred. When it comes to the matter of deen, enmity for them and innocence from them. When it comes to the matter of deen, no good treatment in that regard, but treatment according to Kitab and Sunnah in the matters of wala, loyalty, and friendship, and the matters of bara, enmity and hatred and innocence from them. That's one thing, and dealing with them in matters of dunya is another, and that is where it comes in good action, kind treatment, and things of this nature. So this should be the distinguishing point to be made here. And in regards to treating them kindly, this is a way that you will give them a desire to enter into Islam. Give them a desire to enter in Islam. And also from the standpoint of having loyalty to the believers and enmity towards them, and they see a bara'ah from them in those situations, it also brings to them important matter. You having wala'ah for the believers also brings, does not stop them, I should say, rather, does not stop you from having good manners with them. Does not stop you from having good manners with them. Given that, there is also the fact that the Muslims have always bought and traded and dealt with the kuffar, have imported and exported with them, have brought their products and so on and so forth. And this does not give them, as the Shaykh Hafizahullah says, any virtue of honor, for we pay for those matters. So there's nothing wrong in this regard. There's nothing wrong for us having good transactions with them, buying and selling, buying matters from them, buying products and so on and so forth. And therefore having good behavior when we have a transaction. As long as they are not cheating us, we do not cheat them, we show them good manners, we show them good behavior. In these matters of dunya, there's no problem with that. He said, particularly because he has received questions from outside and heard about things that have taken place from people of the type of the Takfiri who say that it's permissible to kill the kuffar in their land, and it's permissible to rob their stores, and it's permissible to do all these types of things, and that what you take from them, you thievery and whatever is part of the booty or the enjoyment of a future war. He said, they have these individuals who give these type of fatwa. He said, and therefore, these people who don't understand the difference between wala and bara, and between good action and good behavior and good transactions with individuals, they harm the Muslim and they harm themselves. And they give the enemies of Islam chance to find fault with Islam based upon their bad behavior. So he said, this Mufti who says this, it's not calling to anything but munkar. It's not calling to anything but falsehood. It's not calling to anything but that which is batil. And these takfiris do injustice greatly to Islam and do injustice greatly to the Muslims. To the degree where you see their faces or their pictures in newspapers where they have been accused of bombings and explosions and killings and stealing. He says these bombings and explosions they have done in Muslim lands have killed many innocent Muslims. So this is a matter where they are jahil or truly ignorant regarding Islamic ruling as to how to deal with kuffar.
ما دام أهل الكفر أو الكفار يتعاملون مع أهل الإسلام بحسن المعاملة فلا بد على الإسلام أن يبروهم ويقصطوا إليهم. والله سبحانه وتعالى ما ينهانا عن حسن المعاملة مع الكفار، بل الله سبحانه وتعالى يحث على ذلك، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. الله سبحانه وتعالى ما ينهاك عن الذين لا يقاتلون المسلمين ولن يخرجوا المسلمين من ديارهم، أو الكفار لن يخرجوا المسلمين من ديار أهل الكفر، فهؤلاء علينا أن نبرهم كما قال الله تعالى أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم. فنبر هؤلاء لأنهم أحسنوا المعاملة معنا، كذلك نحن نحسن المعاملة ونبر هؤلاء ونقصد إليهم كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان في الولاء والبراء في الإسلام صفحة 23، فمعناه أن من شف أذاه من الكفار فلم يقاتل المسلمين ولم يخرجهم من ديارهم، فإن المسلمين يقابلون ذلك بمكافأته بالإحسان والعدل معه في التعامل الدنيوي، ولا يحبونه بقلوبهم. فالشيخ صالح الفوزان رحمه الله تعالى يبين هذا الأمر، أن الذي كف أذاك عنه من أهل الكفر لم يقتله ولم يقتل المسلمين ولم يخرج المسلمين من ديارهم، فإن المسلمين يقابلون ذلك بمكافأته بالإحسان إليه والعدل معه في التعامل الدنيوي فقط، ليس في الدين، في التعامل الدنيوي. ولا يحبونه بقلوبهم، ولا نحب هؤلاء الكفار بقلوبنا، فحب المسلم وحب المسلمين. ونظر هذا قوله تعالى في الوالدين الكافرين الأب والأم، وإن جاهدك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي. فالأب الكافر والأم الكافرة إذا أمرك على أن تشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى فلا تطع لا الأب ولا الأم، لكن صاحب هذا الأب الكافر والأم الكافرة بالمعروف وحسن المعاملة. فالمؤمن إذا أراد أن يكون محبوبا لدى الخالق سبحانه وتعالى وأيضا لدى الخلق عليه أن يخص أهل الإيمان بالأحكام التي أمر الله بها في كتابه، وأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سنته، ونخص أهل الكفر بما أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى به والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سنته. فالله أمرنا في أمور كثيرة أن نتعامل مع أهل الكفر ومع أهل الإيمان. نعم.
السيد حفظه الله. So the issue was a matter of good actions, being good, and being just with the kuffar. And this is something that Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to do. Allah says in Quran, Allah does not forbid you regarding those who have not killed you because of your deen, or fought you because your deen, or put you out of your country, that you be good with them and just with them. For Allah loves the just. So this ayah is clear that those kuffar who have not killed the Muslims and have kicked them out of their land and have dealt with the Muslims in transactions and dealings in a good way, that we treat them as they have treated us, and we be just and good in our treatment of them. Shaykh Salih Fawzan, rahimahullah, says in on page 24 of his book, Wala wa Bara, regarding this ayah, that this is a clear ayah that shows that those believers who have not feared believers, who have not fought them, who have not kicked them out of the land, They will be dealt with in the matters of duty, in a manner of ihsan, of goodness, and to be just with them, and to be to treat them as they had treated the Muslims. And this is a matter of dunya, but not to love them with your heart. Not to love them with your heart. The Prophet Al-Azhar, Hafizullah, said that this statement from Sheikh Talib al-Zan, Hafizullah, is very clear. That if they have not fought us or killed us or picked us out of, of our land, then in matters of dunya, in matters, worldly matters, then we have to deal with them justly, and we have to show them kindness, and we have to deal with them in a good way. He said this is similar to another verse speaking about when an individual has disbelieving parents. His father and his mother are disbelievers or are mushriks, whether who are disbelievers or associate partners with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is either of them tries to force you, to make you a Christ partner to Allah, then do not obey him. But you have to live with them or be a companion with them in ma'aruf, in that which is good. And submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take the path of one who has submitted to Allah. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if these two Muslim parents try to force the believing child to commit shirk, then absolutely he is to disobey them and not to obey them in this regard. But nevertheless, he is to have kind treatment with them. Treat them with ma'aruf, with kindness, with tenderness, with good behavior. And this is his dealings and transactions with them and his behavior with them. But of course, this does not involve love of them or the matters of the heart. So he said, this is matters of dunya, not in matters of deen. And for the believer who wants to be loved by Allah, and who wants to be loved by the people, then he must deal with the rules and regulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain rules and regulations regarding the believers, and how you deal with the believers, and how you behave with the believers. He must follow that. And Allah has certain rules and regulations regarding how you deal with the people of kufr, and how you behave with the people of kufr. The believer must follow that.
فمن الأحكام التي أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى بها المسلم في معاملات مع أهل الكفر أن يجعل له المسلم لسانه صدقا مع الكفار، فلا يجوز له أن يكذب على الكفار أو يكذب على الكافر، فيقول المسلم هذا كافر يجوز أن يكذب عليه فيكذب، فلا يجوز للمسلم أن يكذب لا على الكافر ولا على المؤمن. ويجعل خلقه معه أحسن الخلق، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه أحسن الناس خلقا. قال تعالى واجعل لسان صدق في الآخرين، وقال تعالى وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وسئلت أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها عن خلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت كان خلقه القرآن، أخرجه مسلم في صحيحه عن هشام بن عامر. قال وصف موجز وبليغ تصف به أم المؤمنين الفقيه، وصف كامل وجامع، كان خلقه القرآن. وقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في مستهل دعوته إلى التوحيد يأمر أيضا مع دعوته إلى التوحيد بمكارم الأخلاق، فالكذب ليس من مكارم الأخلاق. وإسوتك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يكذب على الكفار أبدا. وإسوتك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس إسوتك هواك ورأسك وتكفيرك، فإسوتك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكذب على الكافرين، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان خلقه القرآن. فإذا أمسكت على ما أمسك به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لك أجر في ذلك. وليس هذا من ضعف محبة الكفار أو من موالاتهم، لا، هذا حسن المعاملة، لقد أمرنا الله ذلك، وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتعامل مع الكفار هكذا وبيأسي، حتى أن أهل الكفر قبل البعثة كان يسمونه الصادق الأمين، ما كان يكذب أبدا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على أهل الكفر، حتى أن كان يقولون عنه لا نعهد عليك كذبا، ويأتي هذا بعد ذلك. فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان خلقه القرآن فلتكن كذلك، فعلى أهل القرآن أن يتخلقون بالقرآن وأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى في دعوته ابتداء في قريش في مكة كان يدعو إلى مكارم الأخلاق. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إنما بعثت ليتمم أو ليتمم مكارم الأخلاق. أخرج البخاري في الأدب المفرد وأحمد في المسند بإسناد حسن. خلقه القرآن لا نأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد، يهدي التي هي أقوم ويهدي إلى الرشد. فمن أعظم أسباب النجاح في التعاملات في المعاملة مع الكفار أن تبني أعمالك وتنشئ تصرفاتك كلها معهم على ما أمرك الله سبحانه وتعالى.
الشيخ حفظ الله سيد Sophia said, one must follow the rules regarding the believers as a, and the regulations regarding the believers and take it and follow it that were laid down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, those rules, regulations, and how to deal with the Ahl al-Kufr, the people of Kufr, must be followed. And the first of these rules and regulations regarding them, that I think, that people mentioned in this lecture regarding the Kufar, is to be truthful in your speech with them. Not to lie, but to be truthful. It's not permissible for the believer to lie to the disbeliever. For this is not some good character, and it's not some good morals, or good manners, or good behavior. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was sent in the beginning of his da'wah, he was sent with tawheed, and at the same time he was ordered with good character. With good character. So from the standpoint of good character and good morals and manners and behavior, the believer can make his tongue safe from kibbut, from lying. Not for him to say this is a prophet so that I can lie to him. No, he has to say that this is a behavior that is incorrect and a defect in one's moral character, so I must stay away from this habit of lying. And this is the good khuluq. Of which Aisha radiallahu anha stated about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith related by Hashim ibn Amr, that when she was asked about the morals and behavior and the khuluq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said his khuluq was like the Quran. Because Allah has said in the Quran that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon great khuluq, was upon great morals and manners and behavior. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an example in this regard. And he's never lied to the kuffar. Absolutely never lied to the kuffar. And he is an example, not our desires as the Sheikh said, not our head as the Sheikh said, not our tafsiri tendencies as the Sheikh said, but we are to take the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our example. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not lie. So the people of Quran, they have the manners of the Quran. The people of Quran, they have the khuluq of the Quran. And the most important thing that they can stick to, one of the most important things they can stick to, is the character and the behavior and the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an individual who had good sweetness, or treated good and in a great, right way, even those who are disbelievers, and even in his dealings with them. This is something known, and this is something witnessed to such extent, he had good treatment with them to such extent that before he was sent as a prophet, they used to call him Sadiq, Sufu, Ani, trustworthy. And they would say about him, as will come later in the lecture, that we never experienced when you were alive. We can never recall that you ever lied. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not lie to the kuffar. And his da'wah to Quraysh in Mecca and other places, and his da'wah that he came with, when he told them in the beginning of his message, he said, there I have been sent to complete the good characteristics, or the good character, the good morals and manners. And this is related by Imam Bukhari in his book Adab al-Mufrad, and other sources of hadith have brought in this authentic, insha'Allah. So, there are verses that indicate that establish that which is correct, and call to that which is divided, and be upon that which is upright. All of this is a sticking with good character and good manners, and some of it is not lying to the kuffar.
ففي الإنفاق والعطاء مع الكفار فعليك أن تنفق على نفسك وعلى أهلك إذا اشتريت من الكفار شيئا بشرط أن ترد حقوق الكفار وهذا من الإسلام فتعطي الكفار حقهم أما أن تمتنع حقهم أو تمنع حقهم فهذا يحرم وليس لله سبحانه وتعالى وليس من الإسلام فأهل التكفير يأخذون حقوق الكفار ولا يردون ذلك ويقولون هذا الغنيمة ولا يردون حق الكفار لأن هذا كافر وهذا لا يجوز فالذي يريد أن يمنع شيئا من أهل الكفر لابد أن يكون موافق بكتاب السنة عن أبي أمامة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان أخرجه أبو داود سننه بإسناد حسن فإذا أعطى الكفار موافق الكتاب والسنة فله أجر هذا يكون لله وإذا منع الكفار شيئا موافق الكتاب والسنة فهذا لله لكن يمنع أمرا ما قال به الله سبحانه وتعالى ولا قال به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فهذا يحرم ولا يجوز من حقوق الكفار والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استدان من بعض اليهود ورهن درعه وبعد وفاته صلى الله عليه وسلم رد أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه حقوق أو حق اليهود وليس هذا من محبتهم وموالاتهم انظر فتح الباري لابن حجر جيم 5 صفحة 143 وما زال المسلمون على ذلك الأمر لأمر الله عليهم عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اشترى من يهودي طعاما إلى أجل ورهنه درعه أخرجه البخاري في صحيحه ومسلم في صحيحه وأدر أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه في وفاء ديون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعدما قبض في صحيح البخاري جيم 4 صفحة 494 فهذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استدان من اليهود وأرهن درعه عند اليهود وأبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه عندما توفى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رد حق اليهود ورد حق اليهودي وغيرهم وهذا الأثر في صحيح البخاري وبوّد البخاري في صحيحه في 5 صفحة 145 تحت هذا الحديث بعض الرهن عند اليهود وغيرهم يعني جائز أن تستدين من اليهود وترجع لهم حقهم قال ابن حجر في فتح الباري في 5 صفحة 145 وغرضه يعني البخاري جواز معاملة غير المسلمين يعني غرض البخاري من هذا الباب جواز معاملة غير المسلمين يعني أهل الكفر كاليهود والنصارى وغيرهم فالله سبحانه وتعالى ما ينهانا عن المعاملة وحسن المعاملة مع الكفار ما دام هؤلاء يحسنون بنا الظن والمعاملة كذلك نعاملهم ونبرهم كما أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى لكن إذا كان أهل الكفر يقاتلون أهل الإسلام ويخرجون أهل الإسلام من ديارهم، لا وجب علينا قتالهم وأخراجهم من بلاد المسلمين، ولا يجوز حسن المعاملة معهم نهائيا أبدا. لكن ما دامت هذه الحالة الآن في بلدكم وفي غيرها من البلدان يعاملون المسلمين من أحسن المعاملة، فأنت عليك أن تبرهم وتعدل معهم. أما أن تفجر في بلدهم وتكذب عليهم وتسرق وتقول غنيمة، بهذا تسئل الإسلام كما أساء أهل التكفير، وهذا لا يخفى عليكم. ودين الحافظ ابن حجر في فتح الباري في تبويب البخاري باب رهن الرهن عند اليهود وغيرهم، وغلب البخاري جواز المعاملة مع غير المسلمين. فإذا أعطيت تعطي لله، وإذا منعت تمنع لله، وهذا أصل من أصول أهل السنة والجماعة. ويحسن المعاملة مع أهل الكفار ترغيبا في دخولهم في الإسلام. أما أن تعاملهم بالقسوة وبما ذكرنا فهذا ينفرهم عن الإسلام. عمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف تعامل مع كفار قريش ومع اليهود النصارى، وانظر هؤلاء اهل التكفير كيف يتعاملون مع اهل الكفر. نعم.
شيخ حفظه الله said, in regards to doing Muslim's actions, buying and spending and so on and so forth, then you have to spend it from yourself and your family. And if you take anything from the kuffar, then you have to relate to them or convey to them their rights. The many of those who the people of Takfir and others say that the kuffar have no rights, and it's permissible for you to take from their rights, steal from them and teach them, and this is something that is of the benefit of the future of war. And it just has already shown that this is something that is harmful to the Muslims and harmful to Islam, and it's not that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba were upon, but rather the matter is that the believer is supposed to be, as the hadith of Abi Umama narrates that it's in Abi Dawood and it's authentic, that the believer who gives for Allah, I mean loves for Allah and hates for Allah, gives for Allah and takes for Allah and presents for Allah, has completed his iman. So if by giving to someone and you're giving it based upon the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you have done that which is pleasing to Allah. And would you take, if you take based upon the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you have taken in a manner that is pleasing to Allah. And you forbid someone, you don't give them based on the book of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you're presenting in this regard is something that is pleasing to Allah. And we find in the ahadith and in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he borrowed from the disbelievers, that he would use his field as collateral, and he would purchase from them food upon credit and leave within his field. And this narration has been brought by Aisha radiallahu anha, and this narration is in Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bought some food stuff from a Jew upon credit, and he left with him as collateral his shield. And that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu returned the right or the property of this Jew. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah took this as a general principle for the entire chapter of the permissibility of pawning or leaving a collateral for properties and foodstuffs with the kuffar. So he made a general situation to such a degree. And Ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentions the text of the body, I believe the 6th chapter 5, 54, that this is Bukhari showing that this type of transaction or dealing is not something specific to a Jew, but any kafir. That is a permissibility to have dealings and transactions with any kafir. So Shaykh Fawzi Hafizahullah says here that therefore fair treatment and good transactions and good behavior with the kuffar, as long as they have not fought us or killed us or kicked us out of our land, then this is something permissible, as we have said in the beginning. But if, for instance, they try to kill the Muslims and mistreat the Muslims and kick the Muslims out of their land,
then we identify the kuffar and remove them from the lands of the Muslims. It is not permissible in any shape, fashion, or form in this regard to have any good treatment of them, but rather they should find from us harshness and so on and so forth. But as long as the situation remains as it is here in this country and many others, that they are treating the Muslims in a decent manner, then we should be treating or dealing with them in a like manner. And it's not permissible for us in that regard to then bomb and explode or blow up things and steal as then a situation of ease of the kuffar finding fault with Islam. So here we find that we should be doing what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing. Not what those who are from Tafsir was doing, but we find here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dealing with the Jews and dealing with others and buying things from them on credit and leaving them collateral and paying them and giving them their rights and so on and so forth. So he was in this regard, as the matter of Iman states, that he who gives for Allah and takes for Allah, presents for Allah, so it's based upon this basis. In all matters, we must be guided by the Book of Allah Ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all of these issues, and not guided by our desires in these matters. Not guided by our desires in this matter. So if we have good manners and good behaviors and deal with them justly and fair, then this will bring you into Islam and make you want to be, to hear about Islam and become Muslims. But if we deal with them harshly, we will run them away from Islam, and this is something that is witnessed.
واللق واللين عند معاملة الكفار له تأثير قائل في الدعوة إلى الله وله عظيم الأثر في نفوس المدعوين من أهل الإسلام ومن أهل الكفر, خاصة أن أهل الكفر يعاملون أهل الإسلام باللين واللق, فقابلهم أنت أيها المسلم باللق واللين, فالتعامل يختلف من شخص إلى آخر. وكي يوفق المرء في التعامل مع الناس عليه أن يعرف الداء ويعرف أيضا الدواء. والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط, فحامل الكتاب والسنة عليه أن ينزل كل تفرس في موقعه. وهنا يأتي دور قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين, أخرجه البخاري في صحيحه ومسلم في صحيحه من حديث معاوية. فاللقى اللين له أثر عظيم على أهل الإسلام وأهل الكفر, والكل تتعامل معه بحسبه, حتى أن المسلم إذا تلطف معنا نتلطف معه, وإذا تعامل معنا بسوء خلق تعاملنا معه كذلك. كذلك أهل الكفر إذا تأدب معنا وأحسن المعاملة معنا تأدبنا معه وأحسن معه المعاملة, وإذا كان من أهل الكفر من يعاملنا معاملة سيئة نقابله بذلك ونتعامل معه كما يتعامل معنا بالمعاملة السيئة معه. والله سبحانه وتعالى أرسل الرسل ليقومون هؤلاء الناس بالقسط والعدل بين أهل الكفر وبين أهل الإيمان. فلذلك يأتي هنا دور العلم الشرعي الذي عنده العلم الشرعي يستطيع أن يتعامل كيف يتعامل مع أهل الإسلام وكيف يتعامل مع أهل الكفر. واستجدته في موطن يحتاج إلى رزق تعد نوعا من أنواع التهور والطيش, الشدة في موطن يحتاج إلى رزق على تهور كما حال أهل التكفير, ما عندهم إلا التكفير. والتراخي في موطن يحتاج إلى حزم وشدة يعد نوعا من أنواع الضعف. ومن الناس من تكفيه الإشارة لرجعه وزجره ونهي عما هو فيه. ومنهم من يحتاج إلى نوع من نوعي البيان القلب أو اللسان. ومنهم ما لا يصلح معه لزجره إلا ضرب الصيام. فخصال الناس تختلف وأطباعهم تتنوع وأحوالهم لا اعتبار عند التعامل معهم وأوضاعهم وظروفهم تحتم علينا. فإذا كان الشخص هين لين كانت دعوته أنفع وأولى بالقبول عند الناس، كما قال تعالى: ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك. هذا الخطاب للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فما ذلك نحن؟ فنعامل أهل الإيمان بمعاملة خاصة وكذلك أهل الكفر بمعاملة خاصة. وجاء في صحيح مسلم حديث أنس الذي بال في المسجد، أي قصة الإعرابي الذي بال في المسجد، قام عليه الصحابة وهو من أهل الكفر، إعرابي كافر بال في مسجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، قام عليه الصحابة بزجرة، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تجرموه دعوه. فتركوه، يعني جعله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يقبل دولة رغم أن أعرابي وكافر وبال في المسجد، مع هذا تركه يقول. انظر إلى معاملة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لهذا الكافر. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كذا كان يتعامل مع الكفار، وأحيانا يستدعى الكفار ويقاتل الكفار، فالكل بحسبه. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين له أن هذه المساجد لا تصلح لشيء من هذا البول ولا الخذر، إنما هي لذكر الله عز وجل والصلاة وقراءة القرآن. فأمر رجلا من القوم فجاء بجلو من ماء فشنه عليه، يعني صبه. فلكل أناس معاملة خاصة، فعليك بالكتاب والسنة على فهم أهل العلم. فقد يظن شخص أنه مجاهد وهو منتحر، فتجده يضع القنابل في جسمه ويذهب إلى أهل الكفر سواء في أوروبا أو في أمريكا أو في فلسطين ويفجر بنفسه ويظن أنه مجاهد وهو منتحر. وقد يظن شخص أنه شجاع وهو طائس متهور. وقد يظن شخص أنه صادق الحديث قوالا بالحق أو قوال بالحق وهو مغتاب نمام. وقد يبالغ الشخص اللي ما خف الجناح حتى يصل إلى الاستسلام والضعف. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت: دخل رهط من اليهود على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالوا: السلام عليكم. قالت عائشة: ففهمتها فقلت: وعليكم السلام واللعنة. قالت: فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: مهلا يا عائشة، إن الله يحب الرفق في الأمر كله. فقلت: يا رسول الله، أولم تسمع ما قالوا؟ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: قد قلت عليكم. أخرج البخاري في صحيحه، وبوب عليه البخاري في صحيحه باب الرفق في الأمر كله. فهؤلاء اليهود وهم أهل كفر كما لا يخفى دخلوا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فأنظر اليهود كيف تعاملوا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقالوا: السلام عليكم، يعني السلام. فقامت عليهم عائشة فلعنتهم. فبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لها أن ترفق بهؤلاء حتى لو كانوا كفار وقالوا هذه الكلمة أن ترفق بهم. انظر معاملة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم مع اليهود مع هذه المقولة ومع هذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تعامل معهم أحسن المعاملة. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لك عسوة وقليل من يتبع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا رحمه الله سبحانه وتعالى. نعم.
Another issue in the Jazzina with the Kuffar is gentleness and kindness. Gentleness and kindness. For sure, it has its effect upon the disbelievers. And it makes them desire Islam. It causes them to desire to enter into Islam. And this, of course, is the cause of the believer regarding the believer and the disbeliever. Because you simply must deal with every individual on an individual basis. And as the Shaykh Hazratullah is saying here, that you must know the disease of the individual, and you must know the remedy to that disease. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers down with clarifications of bayyinat, of indictment, and sent down with them the scales of justice. So every action of behavior we have or do has to be in its proper place and appropriate in its proper place and behavior. And the only way you're going to know how you are doing that which is proper is having thick understanding of the matters of deen. And this is where the hadith of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, which is related by Bukhari and Muslim, comes into our mind or into where we view it. And that is that he, Allah, wills good for. He grants them thick and deen. So this one, the Muslim, must be heard well towards the Muslim and the non-Muslim. And this is how the behavior is. If a Muslim is kind to us, then we are accordingly kind to him. And if he's gentle with us, then we are gentle with him. If he has good character with us, then we have good character with him. And if he has bad character with us, then it's permissible in this case to have bad character with him. And similarly the Kafir, he has good character with us, and good manners with us, and good way of speaking with us, and he has good manners with him, good behavior with him, good way with him, and good treatment of him. And if his manners are bad, his behavior is bad, do we treat him according to how he's treating us? This is something permissible in the legislation. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has indicated very clearly in all the narrations that have been brought throughout his life, that there must be a matter of balance and to be just. And that is in dealing with the people of Kufr and also dealing with the people of Iman. And this cannot be done. One cannot have correct behavior in this regard unless one has ilm al-shar'i, legislative knowledge. With legislative knowledge, then one would know what is correct in his behavior and how to deal with people, but what is incorrect in his behavior and how to deal with people. There are times where easiness and gentleness must be the method of operation. And if one is hard or harsh, then he is making a mistake and he's transgressing. And there are other times wherein harshness is needed, and if one is weak or lenient, then he is not fulfilling his obligation and he's being submissive. The taqfiri, he says, the people of taqfir, not only taqfir. It's almost poetic, you can say it. The people of taqfir, not only taqfir. That means that they only want to blow up and explode and destroy things. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that for every situation, there is a method of dealing with the people. So, he said, there are some individuals that you will be easy with. All you have to do is remind them and they will submit to what you are saying and accept it. And there are people that you must be harsh with. There are people who require that you respond to them in two ways, using the pen as well as using the lisan or the tongue. And there are people who only a beating with the whip will deal with them. So people are different in this regard. People are different in this regard. So there must be those times when one must be lenient and gentle, and there must be those times when one must be hard and tough. Must be hard and tough. But at the times of gentleness, it is not correct to be hard and tough. For as Allah says to the Prophet, if you were hard and tough and hard of heart, then it would have ran away from you. And this is regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's a mania of dealing with the people of Iman and dealing with the people of Kufr, and that is based upon just treatment and treating them fairly. And this is something that's shown clearly in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For there is a hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, the well-known hadith, in which the Bedouin Arab entered the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he urinated. And he was a Kafir. Kafir, Bedouin Arab, entering to the masjid of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa standing and urinating in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions wanted to get up and deal with him. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave him. He allowed him to finish his urination. And this was an Arab Kafir. And this was in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi. So these are the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the kuffar. There were times when he was gentle, and times when he was easy, and times when he was soft and kind. And there were other times where he was hard, and where he was fighting, and so on and so forth. The hadith continues that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated to the man that this is a place of worship, this is a masjid, and it is the worship of Allah, and the remembrance of Allah, and the reading of the Quran. And then he watered one of the companions to pour water on the place of urination. So this is the manner of kitab and sunnah, and the people of sunnah have to deal with them this way in their dealings with people. They have to do it in accordance to the book of Allah ta'ala, in accordance to the sunnah, and in accordance to the manner of Ahlul Ilm, or the people of knowledge. Not in accordance with their desires. Prophet Shahadidah Allah said, an individual might take either a mujahid and slaps himself down with explosives, and then goes into the lands of the kuffar, amongst the kuffar, whether it be in Europe or America or Palestine, and blows himself up, thinking he's a mujahid, and in reality he's committing suicide, one of the major sins of Islam. And this is because this is because of the absence of knowledge of this issue. And an individual may think he's courageous, and he's speaking out against the munkar, and he's fighting what is good. In reality, he's a slanderer and a backbiter, because he doesn't know the principles in that regard. So he said this is very important to understand, and that some people may lower the wing of humbleness and submissiveness to such a degree that as if they have totally given up and surrendered, because they have put gentleness where it doesn't belong. So the guidance in this way is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what kitab the Sunnah is upon, and what the scholars are upon. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the matter of the Jews. A group of Jews came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when they entered upon him, they said, Salam alayhi, which is death or poison or whatever upon you, the curse upon you. And Aisha radiallahu anha, the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, heard this and she said, and upon you be this, and upon you also the curse of Allah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mahalan ya Aisha, ease your Aisha. There Allah ta'ala is gentle and he loves gentleness in everything. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah placed this under the chapter of gentleness in all matters. This was dealing with kuffar, dealing with Jews, who had cursed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had wanted for him death and wished upon him death. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his method of dealing with them, wanting that they be guided, he was gentle with them, and he dealt with them in a fair manner. And the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our example is the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the steward is to actually follow the actual example of the Prophet sallallahu wa sallam alayhi.
ويحرم حمل السلاح لوجه الكفار في بلدانهم لما يترتب على هذا الأمر من الضرر عليك خاصة وعلى المسلمين عامة، فلا يجوز حمل السلاح على الكفار في الجميع، لأن هذا ضرر عليه وعلى أهل الإسلام، لأن أنت في ضعف وأهل الإسلام في ضعف. وبين هذا الأمر أهل العلم، والموفق من وفقه الله، فالشوكة والقوة لهذه الحكومات الآن، وأهل العلم ينصحون الدعوة بالحكمة والصبر وترك الدخول في هذه المواجهات مع الحكومات الكافرة، لأن العلماء هم الذين يقدرون لك ذلك، ليس لنفسك تقدر وتفعل، لا، لابد أن تسأل أهل العلم. والربانيون ليس أي أناس، فأهل التكفير والمواجهة لقد ضرهم من غرهم والله المستعان. وإذا أردنا أن نواجه الانتظار لابد من تحقق المصلحة في ذلك، وانتفاء المفسدة وتقديرها لأهل العلم. انظر مدارك النظر في السياسة للشيخ عبد المالك الجزائري صفحة 471. فإذا أردت أن تواجه الكفار أو أي شيء، راجع أهل العلم أولا قبل أن تنفذ هذا الأمر، فلا بد من سؤال أهل العلم في ذلك. فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. ولذلك هؤلاء يفعلون أمورا فرادى والله المستعان. قال الشيخ ناصر الدين الألباني رحمه الله تعالى: ولهذا فأنا لا أقول كما قلت آنفا لا أرى الجهاد، بل أحذر من الجهاد، لأن الوسائل النفسية والمادية لا تساعد المسلمين على القيام بأي جهاد في أي مكان كان. وقال الشيخ ناصر الدين الألباني رحمه الله تعالى: ما ننصح في هذا الأيام بالعمل السياسي في أي بلد من بلاد المسلمين. سلسلة الهدى والنور رقم 352 على 1. وكذلك الصبر على أذى الكفار أحيانا لك فيه أجر، لا تستطيع أن تفعل شيئا فاصبر، فلا تتهور وتواجه وتضعيف، هذا يضرك. لكن إذا صبرت لا تصبر لقال أنت فاصر، ولكن نصبر ابتغاء وجه ربك وابتغاء ثواب ربك، كما قال الله تعالى: والذين صبروا ابتغاء وجه ربهم وأقاموا الصلاة وأنفقوا مما رزقناهم سرا وعلانية ويدرؤون بالحسنة السيئة أولئك لهم عقبى الدار. وقال تعالى: واصبر وما صبرك إلا بالله. والصبور من صبره الله، والمثبت من ثبته الله، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. فلا بد من الصبر أحيانا، وحتى لو أذوك بشيء أصبر لضعفك، كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصبر وأهل الكفر أهل قريش يأذون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في مكة ويأذون الصحابة، حتى أنهم وصلوا طردوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وطردوا الصحابة من مكة، وهاجر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لضعفه، وهاجر الصحابة لضعفهم إلى المدينة، أولا إلى الحبشة ثم إلى المدينة، وهذا أمر معروف. لكن لو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واجه هؤلاء لتضرر كثيرا. فلا تواجه وأنت ضعيف، لكن عد العدة لتعلم كتاب الله وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وتعليم المسلمين كتاب الله وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، حتى إذا قويت شوكة المسلمين وعرفوا كتاب الله وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، بعد ذلك يواجهون. وأما الآن فلا، كما بين الشيخ ناصر الدين الألباني. نعم.
Also, regulations in room dealing with the kuffar in their land that is forbidden for us to carry weapons in front of their faces and to approach them in this manner with weaponry. And this is a general principle because the Muslims are in a state of weakness. And it's not permissible for us in this regard to carry weapons and from the face of the kuffar in their land. But we are in a state of weakness. And all of the Muslim scholars agree that those who have the shelter and the power and these type of things in establishment right now are those kuffar governments. So their method of dealing with them in this state that we are in now is a method of dealing with them with wisdom. With wisdom. And this is the proper manner that the scholars have decided. And if we had the preparation, or if we wanted to face the kuffar, then we are not the ones to decide that issue, whatever that issue is was decided by the scholars of Islam, the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And this is known by ask the people of Zikr, ask the people of Quran and Sunnah and the scholars, if you do not know. But they are the ones who will wait for us, the maslaha, the benefit, and the maslaha, the harm of facing the kuffar. Then he quoted, Hafizullah, Shaykh Abdul Malik Ramadani in Madarak al-Nadr, page 471, in which he indicates all of these issues that the one who decides when is it time to face the kuffar, when is it time to physically deal with them in that manner, are the people of Ahl al-Ilm. So you can refer to that page, inshaAllah. Also, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, said that I do not advise for jihad at this time. As a matter of fact, I caution against it, but I do not see that the Muslims have the means, physically and religiously and materialistically, for to do jihad at any time, any place right now. And he also, rahimahullah, said, I do not advise for political involvement in the Muslim lands at this point. And this is on the case dealing called Huda wa Nur in Syria. He said, so therefore, when you are weak, it is for you to be patient. And when you are patient, you're not patient when people say, oh, look at him, he's very patient. But you're patient for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah, for the Ta'ala, and for the sake of Allah. And Allah has mentioned many ayahs and verses dealing with the virtues of patience and saying that for them will be the last uqbadar, or the final destination, which is the paradise. And Allah Ta'ala has promised many rewards for those who are patient. And also, patience is something granted by Allah Ta'ala, and through that will be firm and steadfast. It's something granted by Allah Ta'ala, as Allah says, that Allah will keep firm. Like it's told to Ibrahim, that Allah will keep firm those who believe amongst the believers in the hereafter, as He kept them firm in this life. So being sovereign, or being firm and steadfast, and being patient is a blessing and a grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, when we do something in our state of weakness now, we would be harming ourselves and harming other Muslims. Bringing harm upon ourselves and bringing harm upon other Muslims. Look at the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein when the Muslims were weak in Mecca, even though he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being harmed, and the companions were being harmed, they migrated to first Ethiopia because of their weakness, and they could not withstand the torture and whatever of the disbelievers, and later on they also migrated to Medina. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he had faced the kuffar then, it would cause great harm upon him and great harm upon the ummah. So there is a means of how you deal with the fact that when you are weak, and this means is that you prepare yourself for the day where you are able to face them, and that is through cultivation and learning based upon the book of Allah Ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nourishing ourselves upon that. And once this is done, and there is full preparation, then there will become a time that we will be able to face the kuffar. But this is not the time, and this time we have to deal with the issue of patience.
ولا بأس بقبول الهدية من الكفار والإهداء لهم كذلك بشرط ألا تكون رشوة أو الإقرار على باطل فتهدي الكفار أو الكافر أو تهدي امرأة كافرة لكي تتزوجها تلعب عليها فلا يجوز هذه الهدية، فهذه تعتبر رشوة أو أقرار على باطل. وقبل نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم الهدية من المشركين، ففي صحيح البخاري ومسلم من حديث أبي حميد الساعدي رضي الله عنه قال: غزونا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تبوك، وأهدى ملك أيلة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بغلة بيضاء، وكساه بردا. فهذا الحديث صحيح البخاري ومسلم. الملك هذا كافر، وأهدى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بغلة وكساء، فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل من هذا الملك هذه الهدية، رغم أن هذا الملك كافر، فيجوز قبول الهدية من الكافر ترغيبا في الإسلام. وفي صحيح البخاري وصحيح مسلم كذلك أن يهودية أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بشاة مسمومة فأكل منها، هذه يهودية أهدت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شاة مسوية فأكل منها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقبل هذه الهدية. فقبول الهدية من الكفار جائز، وأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل ذلك. وكذلك فالإهداء للمسلمين جائز ما دام نحن نأخذ من الكفار هدايا، فإن باب أولى نحن أن نهدي إليهم. والإحسان إلى الكفار خاصة إذا كان جارك والعدل، وهذا من أعظم الأبواب لدعوتهم. عن مجاهد أن عبد الله بن عمرو ذبحت له شاة في أهله، فلما جاء قال: أهديتم لجارنا اليهودي، أهديتم لجارنا اليهودي، سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: ما زال جبريل يوصين بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورثه. أخرجه الترمذي في سننه، وأبو داود في سننه، والبخاري في الأدب المفرد بإسناد صحيح. وهذا عبد الله بن عمرو من الصحابة وعنده جار يهودي، فذبحت له شاة، فقال لأهله: هل أهديتم هذا اليهودي؟ فجائز المسلمين أن يهدون اليهود، يهدون النصارى، يهدون أهل الكفر ترغيبا في الإسلام لعلهم يسلمون. فتعامل مع الكفار بلطف، لك أجر، لأن هدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم. فلذلك لابد أن ننتبه لمنهج الصحابة. قال عمرو بن العاص، عبد الله بن العاص بن عمرو بن العاص من الصحابة وكبار الصحابة ومن العلماء، مع هذا يذكر لأهله: هل أهديتم هذا اليهودي؟ فلذلك لابد أن نتعامل كما تعامل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والسلف. نعم.
Also amongst the revelations with the kuffar, the permissibility of accepting gifts from them and giving them gifts, so long as this gift is not bribery, and so long as this gift is not used as a method to do that which is forbidden or to see that which is forbidden, like for instance giving it to some Catholic woman to trick her into some relationship or marriage or whatever, or to give a gift to a kafir as a bride so that one can achieve something of the dunya or whatever. Providing these matters are not there, then the general principle is that it's permissible to give gifts to the kuffar and to accept gifts from them. So this is a manner of getting them to accept Islam, or creating within them a desire to accept Islam. And there's a narration of Abi Humayn al-Asadi, Abu Humayn al-Asadi, in which he talks about that they went out and fought a ruler, went out on a journey with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this ruler, this Kafir ruler, gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a white mule and a burda, a cloak. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted that from this Kafir ruler as a gift. So there's no problem in this regard accepting it, because this is a means, if you accept from them, this is kind treatment and it's a manner of them accepting or having the desire to accept Islam. Even to the degree that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted some weird lamb that was given to him, or a sheep that was given to him of a Yahudi woman, and it contained poison, yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted this gift and he ate from it. And this was a gift from this Yahudi woman. So in this regard, it's important to understand that there is a permissibility in this regard of acceptance. And therefore, if it's permissible for us to accept gifts, then therefore, of course, it's permissible for us to give gifts. If it's permissible for us to accept, then this behavior demands that we are also able to give gifts. And this is the best, one of the best means of da'wah. One of the best means of being able to call someone to Islam and bring them to Islam is to give them gifts. And use this as a method for them to enter Islam. Then he brought the narration of Mujahid regarding Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, in which he had a sheep slaughtered. And he said to his family, "You could give this part of this to my Jewish neighbor. Did you give part of this as a gift to my Jewish neighbor, or some of this as a gift to my Jewish neighbor?" He said, "For then I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that Jibreel kept advising me to be good to the neighbor and goodness to the neighbor, so I thought that the neighbor was going to inherit from me." And this is related in the Sunan of Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood and others, and it is found narration in Imam Bukhari brings in the Adab al-Mufrad. So here, giving gifts and gentleness and all of this is a means of pulling people to Islam. And if Allah ibn Qadar is up in your hand and wants to Islam, then it's better for you than the red camel. And this is something great. So we have to return back to the methodology of the Sahaba. How are the Sahaba dealing with these issues? Here's Abdullah ibn Amr, one of the kibar of the great the ulama, the great scholars of the ulama, the Sahaba. And here he is saying to his wife, or saying to his family, "If you give part of this as a gift to my Jewish neighbor." So this is their methodology, and this is their way in dealing with the kuffar, and we should be upon this.
وقصة معاملة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع ثمامة ابن أوشال سيد أهل اليمامة عندما ربطه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المسجد حتى قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أطلقوا ثمامة. وفي معاملة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم له أسلم وقال ثمامة رضي الله عنه: "والله ما كان من دين أبغض إلي من دينك، فأصبح دينك أحب الدين كله إلي." أخرج البخاري صحيحه ومسلم في صحيح من حديث أبي هريرة. والدعاء لأهل الكفر كذلك من المعامله الحسنه، وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو للكفار من هدايه. عن ابي هريره رضي الله عنه قال: قدم الطفيل بن عمرو على الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: "يا رسول الله، ان دوسا افت وابت، فدعا الله عليها، فظن الناس انه يدعو عليهم، فقال: اللهم اهدي دوسا وأتي بهم فأسلموا بأكملهم." أخرج البخاري صحيحه ومسلم في صحيحه. فانظر إلى معاملة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع الكفار. والحذر من الغضب، لأنه مذموم وهو من الشيطان. ففي صحيح البخاري من حديث هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رجلا قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو سمي قال: "لا تغضب." فردد مرارا قال: "لا تغضب." وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: "ليس الشديد بالصوع إنما الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. أخرجه البخاري صحيحه ومسلم في صحيحه من حديث أبي هريرة بالسرعة بفتح الراء والعين هكذا. أما السرعة يخطون بعضهم، فلذلك هذا هو الأصل. فالذين يفعلون الأفاعيل ويخالفون سنة المرسلين بسبب الغضب فيفجرون ويسرقون ويسرقون في بلاد الكفار، وبين ذلك يسجنون ويتضررون وأهلهم يتضررون وأولادهم. هل سبب مخالفة هؤلاء لهدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ فانظر إلى معاملة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للكفار، وانظر إلى أهل التكفير كيف يعاملون الكفار. نعم.
Also, we look at the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jabal Tumama. Abu Sa'd was the head of Tumama. Tumama, as you know, the Prophet had implied to have pillar in the masjid. And there after him witnessing various behaviors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions of the Prophet came and brought him and said he should be let loose from that. And he was a human being who hated the deen. As a matter of fact, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah, there was no deen more hated to me than your deen, and now there's no deen on the face of earth more beloved to me than your deen. By Allah, no one's more hated to me than you, but now there's no one more beloved to me than you. And like this. And this is related by Bukhari and Muslim, and it's a sound and an authentic narration, and it is known that it was the characteristics and the behavior and the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his dealing with Tumama that led them to Islam. Also from those actions that he done regarding the kuffar is to make dua for them. That Allah tabaraka guides them to Islam. That Allah tabaraka bring them out of the darkness into the light. And this was something that was done by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Sufail ibn Amr came to him radiallahu anhu. Sufail came saying, "I've given da'wah to those and I tried everything. Or Prophet of Allah, make dua that Allah destroys them." So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hand and said, and make dua. But rather than for destruction, he said, "Oh Allah, guide those and bring them to Islam. Guide those and bring them to Islam." And it stated that all of them, Abu Hurairah relates this hadith, that all of them entered into the fold of Islam. Also, woe to you from anger. Of ghadab. Anger is something that is blameworthy. Anger is the trick of Shaitan and his deception, and is that which leads to that which is evil. But when the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, "Advise me," the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do not become angry." He said, "Advise me." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do not become angry." He said, "Advise me." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do not become angry." Oqama sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then went on to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa said, "The strong one is not the wrestler, but the strong one is the one who is able to control his anger at the time of anger." We can see that those who don't follow the sunnah of the mursaleen, the sunnah of those who have been sent by Allah to the subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance, the messengers, that they can't control their anger. And their anger leads them to make these moves or these actions that they fall into with the kuffar, of stealing, of cheating, of exploding, of blowing up things, and so on and so forth. And then it ends up for them going to the prison. And then it ends up on them being harmed and their families being harmed. All because they are not following the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way of his companions in dealing with the kuffar.
ويحرم الكذب على الكفار في الوظائف وعند جلب نافع أو في الطرقات أو غير ذلك. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يكذب على الكفار. ولما سئل هرقل أبا سفيان قبل أن يسلم عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فهل كنتم تتهمونه بالكذب قبل أن يقول ما قال؟ قال لا. وسأله أيضا فهل يقدر؟ قال لا. أخرجه البخاري في صحيحه. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما كان يكذب أبدا على الكفار. فهرقل يدخل لأبي سفيان هل كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكذب؟ قال لا. وهذا شهادة كافر ابتداء للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انه لا يكذب. حتى بعد ذلك اسلم ابو سفيان. ولما صعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الى الصفا ابتداء الدعوه وقال ارايتكم لو اخبرتكم ان خيلا بالوادي تريد تغير عليكم اكنتم مصدقين؟ قالوا نعم، ما جربنا عليك الا صدقا، وفي الروايه ما عهدنا عليك كذبا. فهؤلاء الكفار يشهدون للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انه كان صادق وانه كان لا يكذب. فلماذا نحن نكذب على الكفار ونقول هؤلاء كفار نكذب عليهم؟ هذا كفر نكذب عليه. فالمسلم لا يكذب والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكذب، فلماذا نفعل المحرمات؟ أخرجه البخاري في صحيحه ومسلم في صحيحه والترمذي في سننه وأحمد في المسند. وكذلك إذا كان المجلس فيه أخلاق من المسلمين والمشركين عبدة الأوثان واليهود، فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان سلم على مجلس فيه مثل هذا الأخلاق. رواه البخاري في صحيحه ومسلم في صحيحه. حتى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا رأى أخلاق من أصحاب الوثنيين والكفار واليهود والمسلمين كان يسلم على الجميع، ولا بأس أن ترد على الكفار السلام إذا سلموا عليه. هذا مضاد حسن المعاملة وترغيبا لإسلامهم. نعم.
Also, as we mentioned earlier, he reiterates the fact that the Muslim doesn't lie to the kuffar. He doesn't lie to him. He doesn't lie to them, the kuffar. Whether that is that his work or his position or profession that he may have in which he tries to lie to achieve some benefit, this is not permissible. Or in the past or where he finds them throughout life, he is not to, in his journey with them, he is not to lie to them. This is not the behavior, as we said before, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companion, and it's not the behavior of the Muslim who is on the Kitab of Sunnah. As a matter of fact, we find that the great one of Rome, Heraclius, when he was questioning Abu Sufyan about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, does he lie? And I would suggest that we have never experienced from him any lying. There was Abu Sufyan, he was a pastor at that time, he came Muslim later on, saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never lied. He also asked him, did he deceive you? As he's been treacherous, or did he deceive you? And he said, no, we have not experienced from him any deception. But when Abu Sufyan, the great man of Rome, regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was witnessed for him that he is truthful and that he did not lie. And similarly, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed upon Safa and called out openly to the Quraysh, and he got into the gathered around. He said, if I were to tell you that there was an army behind us in this valley who wanted to destroy you, would you believe me? They all said, you are the truthful, and we never witnessed yourself from your truthfulness, so of course, this is that which we would accept. Or narration said that we have never experienced from you any lying. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not lie. So why do we lie? Why should we lie? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not lie to the kuffar. So why should we say permissible that the Prophet let's lie to them? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not lie, and that was not his behavior, and therefore we should not lie. Also, it is related by others. That one was related by Bukhari and Muslim and Tirmidhi and others. And it's found. It is related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find a group of believers and a group of idol worshippers and Muslims all mixed, then he would send salam to all of them. Then he passed by a group of mixed people, people who were worshipping Al-Tan, or who were worshippers of Al-Tan, who were sitting,
with believers and he was sitting with other Muslims, and he passed them to Salah for all of them. And this is why he said, there's no problem with you if the Prophet said clearly to you, in a clear language, make Salah, make this Salah that you respond to them. There's no problem with that. And this is from the method of pulling this castle, this is Geneva, to Islam, and to any in his heart a desire to accept Islam.
فالمعاملة للمسلمين الكل بحسبه ومعاملة الكافرين الكل بحسبه. ومن هنا يتبين لك فساد منهج التكفيريين والإرهابيين والسلام.
الشيخ سيرم كيرزي لكن هو ينسي ان هذا في اساسات هي الدنيا من المسلم ولا بتكتلة الدنيا من المسلم ان الدنيا من الأمانة. And there are particular revelations in Hindu in dealing with Kuffar, particular Kuffar who deal with them in that manner. And so that's kind of how we can understand the danger of the terrorists and those who are in Takfiri, and then he says Salam to us.